Good morning. Today's reading comes from Mark 1 and it is verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, everybody, again. So this morning's passage, well, it's the second Sunday of Advent. And so the question that the second Sunday of Advent has for us is this: are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? Not are you ready for Christmas, although that might be a very pertinent question at the moment. I know Sheila's already mentioned about trying to do Christmas shopping this year and everything being a bit different. I wonder how far you've got. We've put up our tree because Lucy and Ted insisted that we do that last Sunday because it was the first Sunday of Advent. But we haven't put up all our decorations. We're sort of holding back until we get a bit closer to Christmas. It still feels a bit early for me. But we have started getting ready, of course. We've written cards that need to be sent abroad. We've written most of the cards that need to be posted. But we've still got other local cards that we haven't written yet. And we've got most of the presents. We've wrapped some of them, but not all of them. So we're kind of getting there, but we're not fully ready for Christmas yet. And maybe you're somewhere on that spectrum too, or maybe you're someone who's super organised and you're totally ready. But actually, this morning's passage isn't about asking, are you ready for Christmas? The question, are you ready, is on the lips of John the Baptizer. And it comes from the prophets Malachi and Isaiah. And they had prophesied this: I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's message is an old message. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. It's a message that these prophets had spoken years and years before, and yet it had just, in John's time, become very relevant. It became a message for right now. Prepare the way, get ready. But get ready for what? John's message is about getting ready. But what is he asking us to get ready for? He's asking us to get ready to meet with Jesus. Get ready to receive God. Get ready to encounter the divine. Get ready to receive God's love. So how do we prepare for this? How do we get ready for this? How do we get ready to receive God's love? We may feel that we don't deserve God's love, that we haven't done enough to earn it, that we're not good enough for it. But the wonderful thing about God's love is that we don't earn it, we don't work our way towards it, we don't do enough to deserve it. It's given to us as a free gift, not earned, but given freely. And we call this grace. And grace is at the heart of the Christian faith. It's about receiving something that you haven't earned, you haven't worked for. It's about receiving a gift that really you don't deserve, but God wants to give to you. And it's the heart of the Christian faith, the story of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. So we don't earn it. We just simply receive it. That sounds simple, but actually receiving things can be hard. It can be really hard for us. I wonder if you're one of those persons that squirms when someone offers you a compliment or a kind word or a present. When they try and give you something, you kind of feel a bit uncomfortable. Sometimes we struggle to receive. And sometimes we struggle to receive love. Even when we know deep down that we desperately want it and need it, there's sometimes barriers there, meaning that we can't receive when actually we want to. Imagine if you could allow yourself to deeply receive the gift of kindness, caring, and connection. So instead of putting your hand up and saying, no, I can't take that, I couldn't possibly, you're actually able to receive it. Often we find it easier to give than to receive. And I was thinking about this and I did a little Google search and I came across this really helpful article that talks about why we often find it easier to give than to receive, and how sometimes we squirm and struggle when somebody wants to give us something. And this is what the article said. It said, there are many reasons why receiving is often more difficult than giving. Receiving creates connection. Prioritizing giving over receiving may be a way to keep people distant and our hearts defended. To the extent that we fear intimacy, we may not allow ourselves to receive a gift or compliment, thereby missing out on a precious moment of connection. Or maybe we struggle to let go of control. When we give, we're in control in a certain way. It might be easier to offer a kind word or buy someone flowers, but can we allow ourselves to surrender to the good feelings of receiving a gift? And to what extent does our giving actually come from a generous heart versus promoting our self-image of being a caring person? Receiving invites us to welcome a vulnerable part of ourselves, living in that tender place where we're more available to receive the gifts we're offered every day, such as a sincere thank you, a compliment, a warm smile. It goes on. We may be uncomfortable receiving if it came with strings attached when growing up. We may have received compliments as a child only when we accomplished something, like being really good at sport or achieving good grades at school. If we sensed that we weren't being accepted for who we are, but instead just for our accomplishments, for what we can achieve, then receiving may be connected to a continuing need to perform, where ultimately this leaves us just feeling empty. Sometimes as children and even as adults, we're recognized for what we do rather than who we really are. And this is an interesting part where it talks about religion as well in this article. It says, sadly, sometimes religion may have taught us that we're selfish if we receive, that life is more about suffering than being happy. It's better to be self-effacing and not take up too much space or smile too broadly in case we bring too much attention to ourselves. As a result of this, we might feel shame when we receive. We don't want to be narcissistic, self-centered, or selfish, but we do need a healthy sense of self-worth. We need to be able to enjoy the blessings and joys of life, the good things that God has given us. I think the key with all of this is that being able to receive, we need two things. We need humility and appreciation. And this brings us back to John the Baptizer calling out in the desert for everybody to get ready to receive Jesus. We need to be humble enough to receive Jesus. And that involves recognizing our need for him, recognizing that we do need Jesus, to say, I can't do this on my own. I mess up. I make mistakes. I always miss the mark. Essentially, that's what sin means. Accepting that as humans, we can't achieve enough to fill that hole inside of ourselves. We can't make enough money to fill that hole. We can't eat enough food to fill that hole. That we need Jesus, recognizing that. And with this realization and humility comes the second part, which is appreciation. From Jesus, we receive forgiveness. We receive mercy. We receive hope. We receive love. It's like I was saying a couple of weeks ago with that analogy of a wedding, a couple getting married where they say, what is mine is yours and what is yours is mine. And they kind of give and receive in that way. And when that analogy is applied to us as humans in our covenant connection, our marriage with God, then it's a really unfair balance, because what we give to God is our sin and our shame and all the ways we've messed up. And what we receive from him, what he gives to us, is grace, forgiveness, and unending love, literally eternal love. That's what we receive. So it's that giving and receiving. Now, this is something to be immensely grateful for. And this is why we worship. We say thank you to God. And we do that with our whole lives. Our whole lives are an act of worship. And we recognize all the good things that God has given us, the forgiveness that we've received, the grace and the love. And then we respond with lives of worship. The prophecy about John talks about making straight paths for him. I used to always think about this as like a runway, clearing a space so that God can land in our lives. The verse says, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So in that image of an aeroplane needing to land on a runway, a landing ground, it's almost like clearing away any rubbish that's on that runway, because the aeroplane can't land if there's, you know, bits of debris or overgrown weeds or whatever covering that runway. It needs to be completely cleared. And I think that's what John's encouraging us to do. With humility, we need to acknowledge that we need Jesus. We need to clear a space on the runway, clear a space in our lives, and invite Jesus to land, to be ready to receive Jesus's love. When Jesus started his ministry, he had a similar message to John, this one about preparing a way. And what Jesus said, he said, repent and believe. The quote is from Mark 1, verse 15. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. If you think about this as though being in two halves, repent and believe, think about it like two halves of a circle. So one half is repent and the other half is believe. Now, people have developed this way of understanding this, of looking at it. Imagine your life as a line. If we look at the next picture, there's a circle, but there's a line at the top. See that black line right at the top of the circle? And that circle represents our life, the kind of time of our life going along. And then you'll see this sort of an X where the circle starts, and it says the word kairos. Now, the word kairos means moment, but not just a moment like, oh, it's lunchtime or dinner time, but a really significant moment, a moment in your life that should make you stop and think. So when we hit one of those moments, we then begin to travel around the circle. And as I say, that circle has two halves. Repent on one side and believe on the other. And then this has been developed a bit further. So if we look at the next diagram, we see the line across the top, kairos moment, that moment in life. And I suppose we could think about the pandemic as being a kairos moment. Everything has changed. So much of life has changed. How we think about our health, how we interact with people has changed. So this is a kairos moment. And whenever we reach a kairos moment, an important moment in our lives, we're encouraged to go round this circle, repent and believe. So if we just go back to the diagram again, on one side it says repent, and it says observe, reflect and discuss. Then the other half is believe, plan, account and act. So Jesus is inviting us to repent and believe. So the first half of the circle, repent, it says first point is to observe. So we observe that something is happening. We recognize that this is a moment in our life where we need to take stock. And it might be something wonderful that's happened, or it might be something that's really difficult and challenging. So we observe that it's happened. And then secondly, we reflect. So we think, okay, what's going on here? Why have I responded in this way? What's going on in the life or in my life or in the world? So we reflect. And then the third point is to discuss. So we find somebody that we can talk to, who we can trust, someone who maybe shares our faith and our way of looking at the world. And we say, this has gone on for me. This moment's happened in my life. You know, it's changing me. I'm wondering what's going on. I'm trying to process it. And you talk it through with them. And then that leads us on to the second half of the circle, which is believe. And again, there's three points in this second part where we plan, account and act. So firstly, we plan. So we make a plan. We think about, right, how am I going to respond to this? What is this moment teaching me? What is God saying? What is God doing in my life? And we make a plan. And then we're accountable for it. So again, we talk to somebody and we say, this has happened. I'm starting to think about how it's affecting me in my life. I'm thinking about what God's saying through it. And I want to be accountable about what I do. And then, of course, the final point is to act. You actually do something. And then if you notice, that takes us back to that kairos moment. And then we continue in our lives, in our timeline. And whenever we hit a moment that's significant where we think God is trying to say something, a moment where maybe we're rocked in our life or where something really good happens, we go around the circle. And it's that invitation that Jesus says. He says, repent and believe. When he comes announcing the good news of the kingdom, he says, repent and believe. Go on this journey of actually turning around. That's what repentance means, to turn around and to be on that journey. And if we do that, if we can enter into that circle every time we have one of those moments, that'll help us to lead a really healthy life as a disciple, where we're open to what God is doing, even in really difficult moments, and we're listening to him and we're talking it through with others and we're making accountable actions and we're moving on in our discipleship. That's the invitation of Jesus. Now, in the final verse, John the Baptizer tells us that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, to baptize means to be fully submerged. So it came from the word when a boat is filled with water. So if you imagine the boats around Jesus's time, they were kind of like fishing boats. They were open at the top. And if water started getting in, and then enough water getting in, it would be completely submerged. So the boat would fill with water and it would sink under the water. And the word that they used for that moment when a boat was totally overwhelmed with water and filled with water was baptize. So when John the Baptist talks about baptizing, he's talking about pushing people under the water, that, you know, we know that ritual of baptism. And when he says, when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, he's saying that he will fill you, he will flood you with the Holy Spirit. It's not just kind of a little feeling or a little moment. It's something that changes you completely from head to toe. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, John is saying, Jesus is coming and he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes into the world, and as he does, he ushers in the Holy Spirit, a helper, the advocate, to be with us, to be on our side, and to be the divine power within us. So let's bring all this together. John has a message for us. Get ready to meet Jesus. Clear a space, clear a way. Do what is needed to receive his love. Jesus invites us to repent and believe. In and through Jesus, we receive forgiveness and love, which is a gift of grace that we haven't earned, that we don't deserve, but is freely given to us. And sometimes we need to do some work in order to be ready to receive that. God takes our sin and our shame, and he gives us his love. And as part of doing that, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. We can choose to live in love and grace and power every single day. It's a daily choice. Repent, believe, and receive. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue our journey through Advent, we thank you that this second Sunday brings us John's message to get ready to receive from God, get ready to meet with Jesus and receive his love. Lord, for those of us who struggle to receive from you, for whatever reason, things in our past, things going on at the moment in our heads and our hearts, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to clear the way, to clear that runway so that you can land in our lives. Lord, help us to get rid of anything that is stopping you from meeting with us. And Lord, we pray that as we receive, you'll help us on that invitation that you give to us to repent and believe, to turn around that circle, to recognize our need for you, to appreciate your goodness. And I pray that that will lead us on in our journey as disciples, as we live lives of worship and thanks to you for the grace and mercy that we've received. And as we do that, Lord, I pray that you would fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be baptized, that we would be filled with that Spirit from our head to our toe, that we would know your love, know your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen.